just watching a quick video of Victor David Hansen attacking the lie of climate change. But when he said, well, the planet is 8 billion years old and humans have only been here for 300,000 years, I quickly left it. Why? Why do I do that? Why do I quickly dump, when someone's talking from that point of view, like 8 billion years old universe, right? Or 300,000 years humans have been here. Think about what a brilliant man Victor David Hansen is presupposing. The only way everything is, in, from his point of view, 8 billion is time, right? His whole predicate is based on things happened 8 billion years ago, which we cannot comprehend, a billion years or a million years. There's no history for that. There's no history for even 12,000 years. You have the genealogy of scripture. Yes, maybe things another age existed before Jesus said, or word said, let there be light, because there was chaos here. There was deep here. There could have been pre-existing ages. But again, what's the beginning? God. Not a bang. See, in even as a good man, a good thinker, a logical thinker, smart man, historian, as soon as he puts his premise on climate change on 8 billion, he's on very shaky ground because he's presupposing a bang. Has to. Some kind of explosive action. He doesn't believe in intelligent design, or does he believe in the beginning God created in 6 literal days? And then the 300,000 years, where do you get that? Carbon 14 dating or whatever? So do you see how brilliant people are walking around talking? They're 70, 80, 90 years old. They've written incredibly great stuff on history, on economics, on government. They're logical. But their whole premise on the whole structure of everything that they actually participate in as a human, and him as a farmer in California, walking on soil, trying to grow things, growing things, and managing all that, he doesn't even know where the soil came from. He doesn't know where the rain came from. He doesn't know where the space between us and the blue sky, how big it actually is. The edges of the earth. He doesn't know what the middle of the earth actually is. North Pole, they call it, right? It's the center, magnetic center. Bunch of rock there. He doesn't understand the outer edges. And he's brilliant, right? And I'm just a farm kid from Pennsylvania. And I'm sitting here saying, until you get this beginning right, and understand the 6 literal day, and then the genealogies flowing out of Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel, Seth, the genealogy of Seth, which led to Enoch, then to Noah, then to Abraham, then to Moses, and then to David as king of Israel, which without that, without those figureheads, right, without Adam, Noah, the ark, right, the covenant is built around a beautiful symbol, which is called the ark, and then the rainbow. The ark is Jesus. He's our protection from the wrath of God against sin, evil, corruption, which was corruption of the human DNA. Then you have Abraham, because all the nations at the after the Tower of Babel rebelled against God. God confused their language. Now you have 70 new languages introduced to the earth, spreading to the corners because they can't talk to each other, so they got to start building. God forces them to be fruitful, multiply, and subdue the earth. Forces it. But then he chooses Abraham out of the Ur of the Chaldees, who was personally trained by Noah and his son Shem. Out of Shem will come Jesus, right? So he trains Abraham as a child on the origin of all things. Teaches him. Abraham's hidden away in a cave from the wrath of Nimrod, who is the world leader. He's evil. He hates God. He wants to be God. He's Nimrodic, right? Gilgamesh. And then eventually it emerges that Abraham is the chosen seed of God's plan. because he eventually has a child, Isaac, told to offer that child up on top of Mount Moriah, which is right there at Jerusalem. There the Temple Mount is to be, was, and will be again, because it has to finish there, because God established this covenant with Abraham right there. He gave him his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, in replacement of Isaac. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God that was caught in the thicket that Abraham offered up, not his son, but he killed a ram. God then sends his son to be that lamb, lining up with Passover, timing it with Passover, the actual event in Jerusalem, in Israel, at the time of his death, pouring out his spirit at Pentecost, the first harvest. And now us, waiting for the tabernacles, waiting for the appearing, waiting for the Lord to show up and to dwell with us, to come down with us. That's the gospel. That's the historical lineup. Those are the figureheads. You have Moses bringing the law that we could not keep, but it's tied to the land. It's tied to Israel and the land. They couldn't keep the law, they lose the land. They worship false gods, they lose the land. Then you get, you know, David during that season, a real king. But then out of David comes Jesus as king, but he hasn't been king on earth yet. So it's all tied to this history, which is only 58, 87 or whatever it is, not quite 6,000 years. That's all the history is. There is no other history. You have the flood 5,000 years ago. That's clear if you trust the Bible versus science versus fossil records. You have dinosaurs and they were destroyed at the flood. You have giants, they were destroyed at the flood. They ate each other. They ate humans. That story needs to be told. And I will tell it. Will they listen? Doesn't matter. It'll be presented publicly for all to hear in the rest of my days on this earth.